sit together on such auspicious day. I don't know if some of you could feel already something special happening today in your life. But yeah, first of all, who of you do not understand English? You could need a German translation?
You have to ask me.
Yeah. Anyone is able to ask? Let's see how many needs. If we have a big group, then we do sentence by sentence. If it's a small group, I would rather prefer we do. I don't know if some of you could feel something different in the day today. I got a very nice gift this morning. I felt actually that Balaram was taking myself as if I was Deruka Suha. He was whirling me around. I got really good purification this morning. Everything was just going the wrong way. And then later, when I was chanting japa, I felt Lord Balaram telling me, I mean, not telling me, but I felt Lord Balaram saying, don't worry, everything is under my control. You need this type of purification. And Lord Balaram has different weapons. Lord Balaram has, for example, a plow, he has a club, and he has one weapon that we call a muscle. I think this word is only Sanskrit word. I think there is no equivalent in English, according to Dinabandhu Prabhu. But he explained that in this muscle we use, it's a little bit like a plow, but it looks a little different. There is not this big round thing at the end, it's more flat. And he explained that we use this type of instruments to break the rice, to take away the shell of the rice. And this shell of the rice is actually called artha. Artha. And this means useless. This means useless. What we don't use. So Lord Balaram has this muscle to actually take away what is not useful for us. And this we call anarthas. This is those impediments that are inside of our heart. And we know that Lord Balaram took birth when he came in this world. He was actually the seventh son of Vasudeva and Devaki, and the sixth first had been already killed by Kamsa. And one explanation why Balaram came before Krishna is that he actually was making space for Krishna. All those sons that had been killed by Kamsa before represent the enemies that are inside of our heart. And Lord Balaram come to clean up the space for actually Krishna to appear. So I would like to speak today a little bit about the appearance of Lord Balaram in this world when he came as the seventh son of Devaki. Devaki was pregnant from this child, and we could see that this child was actually a divine child. But just before the birth of the child, Krishna or Yogamaya organized that the child from the womb of Devaki was actually transferred into the womb of Rohini in Rajbhumi, in Vrindavan. Now, how is that possible? Can any doctor take a child from the womb of a person and put it in the womb of another person? This is just incredible. Just incredible. Maybe we have heard that already and we think, yeah, it's everything is possible for Krishna. And that's true, but it's nice to realize how incredible it is. And everything in this world is actually a reflection from the spiritual world. So here also we see intrigues. We see films with detectives and intrigues to be solved. But in the spiritual world, they are the most amazing intrigues. And nobody actually could see what had happened, that the child had been transferred from Rohini's womb, now from Devaki's womb to Rohini's womb. Only the great acharyas could get knowledge about that, but nobody else. And everyone was thinking, Kamsa, this evil guy, he has killed this boy in the womb of his mother. He did not even wait for the boy to come out of the womb of his mother. He already killed. And Kamsa was thinking, what happened? But everyone was actually suspecting him to have done such a cruel atrocity to kill the child in the womb of his mother. Now, after the birth of Balaram, although Balaram looked beautiful like a white lotus flower, and his eyes were brilliant like the lightning flash, still Balaram was totally mute, was totally silent, could not speak, did not speak at all, and was most of the time inactive. But whenever Yasoda would take Krishna close to her womb when she was waiting for Krishna to come, then Balaram would become lifeless, full of life. And whenever Balaram was away from the womb of Yasoda, he would again become totally mute and inactive. He remained in that condition until the appearance of Lord Krishna. When Lord Krishna arrived in this world, then Balaram started to speak and to be all the time very active. Now, although Balaram appeared 1 year before Krishna, 1 year and a few weeks, 2 weeks, or 8 days, 1 week, yeah. 1 year and 1 week, still the two boys, Krishna and Balaram, did everything at the same time. They started to crawl at the same time. They had the name-giving ceremony at the same time. Everything they will do, they will actually do everything at the same time. And I would like to enter a little bit in this moment when Gaga Muni, a very great saint, came to visit Nanda Maharaj to see those two extraordinary boys, Krishna and Balaram. When Gaga Muni arrived in Nanda Maharaj's house, Nanda Maharaj stood up, folded his hands, and offered respect to the sage. And then Nanda Maharaj spoke to Gaga Muni. Any one of you guess what did Nanda Maharaj say to Gaga Muni? Just imagine, there is a great sage, a great sadhu, effulgent, full of love of God in his heart that comes in front of you. What will you say to such a person?
Please bless my son.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, good try. Any other guess?
Welcome.
Okay. Here are the words of Nanda Maharaj. Dear sir, because you are a devotee, you are full in everything. So first is glorifying the devotee. Since you are a devotee, you are full of everything. Yet, my duty is to serve you. Kindly order me, what can I do for you? very beautiful. Although it's very, very known in our culture that when we are in contact with a sadhu, we should serve him or see how we can please him. But still, it was not easy to think in that way. And that was actually Nanda Maharaj's behavior to Garga Muni. What can I do for you? Please order me. I am your servant. And then Garga Muni said, the only things I want is to see you two boys. Please show those boys to me. I want to examine those boys. So Nanda Maharaj brought Krishna and Balaram, and Garga Muni was looking at them, and Garga Muni had an understanding of all the astrological science and could see they were very, very special boys. And then Nanda Maharaj asked, can you do the name giving ceremony for those boys? But Garga Muni was not so, he was a little bit afraid. He said, if I do this name giving ceremony and Kamsa hear about that, he will immediately knew that Krishna was transferred from Mathura, from Vasudeva to Vrindavan, and some problems may happen. So Nanda Maharaj said, no problem, let's go to the cowshed and we will do the name giving ceremony in a solitary place where no one will actually be aware of what is going on. And when Garga Muni gave the name of Balaram, he said, this child, the son of Rohini, will give all happiness to his relatives and friends by his transcendental qualities. Therefore, he will be known as Rama. And because he will manifest extraordinarily bodily strength, he will also be known as Bala. And then, moreover, because he unites two families, the family of Vasudeva and the family of Nanda Maharaj, he will be known as Sankarshan. So Nanda Maharaj and Vasudeva were actually brothers. They had the same father. But at that time, sometimes personality had two wives or three wives or more. So the father had actually the father of Nanda Maharaj and Vasudeva had two different wives. And Nanda Maharaj was born from a wife that was Vaishya, and Vasudeva was born from a wife who was Kshatriya. Then Nanda Maharaj married Yasodamayi, who was Vaishya, and Vasudeva married Rohini, who was Kshatriya. So it was like coming from one family, two different lineages. And because Balaram had been transferred from the womb of Rohini, of Devaki, to the womb of Rohini, therefore it is said that Balaram was uniting the two families. So here is actually a very nice point that I got from His Holiness Kiriraj Maharaj, who speak about this point of Balaram uniting the different families. Because we see just in Vaishnavism, just in the story of this Sampradaya, how many different families are there? If you go in Vrindavan, you see so many different Vaishnavas are there, from so many different, from the four different Sampradayas, but so many different families. And how much unity is there in all those families? If we come closer to one yatra, we see that very often we also find a lack of unity between the members. And sometimes, even in a temple, we see that there are lack of unity between the members. So Balaram is actually known as Sankarshan because of his ability to unite. And this is a point, I hope you are not bored to hear about that. That's the point I like to speak very often about that, because without the help of others, and especially in a spiritual life, we are just not able to do much progress on our own. We totally depend on the help and support of others. What we call the enemy is actually a very deep and thick illusion that is actually all the time threatening and all the time trying to cover the soul. And through this unity, we have actually the chance to go over that. Radhanath Swami gave a very nice example connected to this unity between spiritual people. He said we are all like in a big fight against this material energy. And imagine, during the fight, we start to fight with each other instead of fighting against the enemy. I don't like the color of your shoes. I don't like what did you say to me. Then how will we be able to win the war against the real enemy, the enemy of illusion? So Balaram has this ability to unite, and without this unity, without this strength of being together, of supporting together against this illusion that is all the times around, we just have no chance to make it alone. Ultimately we need so much the help of other persons who are also on the spiritual path. Giriraj Maharaj speaks further by explaining how this reunion of family took place in a very nice way in Kurukshetra. And the family of Nanda Maharaj was all the time in Vrindavan, and then the family of Rohini, Vasudev, if I remember well, they were in Dvarka, and they all came and met at Kurukshetra. And that was such a beautiful meeting. When you read Srimad Bhagavatam, you see how much they were inquiring from each other about their well-being, how kind and well-intentioned they were towards each other. And Giriraj Maharaj explained that when he was reading these pastimes from Srimad Bhagavatam, he got really moved in his heart, because he told, actually, I always had the concept that spiritual life means I and Krishna, that all those social interactions are actually not so important. And now he was reading Srimad Bhagavatam, how all the different families were interacting and were actually reunited. And some times ago we were reading Srimad Bhagavatam, discussion between Uddhava and Vidura. And Vidura is all the time asking, how are my family member? How is this devotee going? How is that devotee going? So Giriraj Maharaj makes this point that actually in spiritual life we cannot do it alone. We need to do it into the family of Vaishnavas, into the family of genuine seekers for this love of God. And in the spiritual world we are not alone with Krishna. It's also a big family. It's many, many different devotees. And unless one learns to love all those devotees who are around us and interact with them with affection, it's actually almost impossible to come to Krishna, because Krishna loves his devotee so much. So Balaram, today we can pray to Balaram for this help, so that we can have this unity, we can have this love and reciprocation between devotees, and not just focus on Krishna directly and not give attention, respect and affection to the other devotees who are actually living with us or around us. So how is it that Balaram is the elder brother of Krishna? How is that possible? Krishna is the Supreme Personality of God. Everything emanated from him. How is it possible that he is the younger brother of Balaram? Yeah?
Before Krishna appeared in that material world, Balaram was coming as in form of Ananta Shesh and was just begging, please let me be your older brother this time, let me be your older brother this time, because in Ramlila he was Lakshman and was a younger brother, and Ram didn't hear anything what Lakshman said, and he couldn't, you know. And then in Krishna Lila, he begged to be the older brother. Said he, Krishna, there's a different relationship. The younger brother has to be to obey more or less the elder brother. So Balaram could tell Krishna, don't do this, don't do this.
This is actually very, very deep. Because when Balaram was in the form of Lakshman in Ramlila, his life was really not easy. Ram asked him to do things that were very, very difficult to do, and he had to obey. When Sita had been reformed, or when Sita came back after had been kidnapped by Ravana, Lord Ramachandra told Lakshman, she was coming on the palanquin, and he told Lakshman, you go and tell her she should not sit on the palanquin and she should walk. So Lakshman was shocked and went and told her, and Sita immediately did it. And then Lord Ram told Lakshman, now tell Sita Devi that I reject her. I cannot accept her as my wife anymore, because she was staying and living in the house of a demon, in the house of someone else. And Lakshman had to go to Sita and tell her that. Now, because everyone was so disturbed about Lord Rama, who was rejecting Sita Devi, everyone claimed to Ram, she is chaste. She did not had any. Ram did not touch her. There's no reason to reject her. Everyone was against that. And then everyone said, let's make a fire and let Sita be on the fire. And if she burns, that means she was not chaste. And if she is free from the fire, that means she was chaste. And who did Lord Ram ask to light the fire? Was Lakshman. And Lakshman could not, was there. And Ram was looking at him, do it, do it, do it. He had to do it. The fire burnt, and Sita was not burnt. Sita was shown to be chaste. And for some time, Lord Ram and Sita were together, until one day, Lord Ram heard a person criticizing him for having accepted Sita back. And he said, I'm giving a bad example to the society. I cannot keep Sita anymore. So he told Lakshman, you take Sita with you and you tell her that you go to visit some sadhu in the nature, in a small ashram far away from here. But when you are there on the ashram, you tell her that she's exiled for life. And then you come back alone. So Lakshman was driving Sita, and he was crying. How could he do that? And then he said, never again I want to come as the younger brother of Krishna. Never again I want to come for doing such a terrible service. There is another reason, is that actually Balaram wanted also to exchange with Krishna a little bit with the Vatsalya mood. Like a younger brother is a little bit protective towards the younger brother. And we see that time to time in Krishna Lila, Krishna will go to Balaram to ask him for help. Sometimes, at least one time, as far as I know, Krishna came to Balaram and asked him for help. And this was a special time. There was one gopi that was very ugly, and everyone was always laughing about that gopi. And one day, Krishna went to steal butter in that specific gopi. But this gopi became so angry that she ran so fast behind Krishna and was so ready, so angry, Krishna was calling for Balaram.
Please tell me.
heard in the words of Gaga Muni that actually Bala means strength, and Balaram is actually a very amazing source of spiritual strength in our life. It is something very, very, very important. Very often when my Guru Maharaj writes letters, he writes at the end, wishing you a lot of spiritual strength. When spiritual strength is there, actually nothing can really bother us. Only when we are weak spiritually can we actually become attracted by material energy and overcome our illusion. But when spiritual strength is there, we have wings. Everything is just wonderful. Nothing is actually disturbing us. Even the greatest person shouting at us or whatever, we just cannot be touched because spiritual strength is there. Now, from where this strength come? From where does Balaram get his strength? Nyanjana Maharaj explained that actually Balaram's strength is coming because he is so much engaged in service. This strength of Balaram is coming because he is just totally, from toe to head, totally engaged in serving Krishna. And this serving, this service attitude is just so full of bliss that this is actually the strength that generated from Balaram. This Nirmjana Maharaj explained in a lecture. And we know that Balaram is actually totally engaged in serving Krishna. He is expanding in all the different paraphernalia. He is the cushion of Lord Krishna. He is becoming the holy Ram. He is actually the paraphernalia, the instrument of music. Everything that is there to serve Krishna is taken the form from Baladev. And this is this amazing form of strength coming through the service. And we can see when we are allowed to do proper service, when this seva bhav, this attitude of service is there, also there is so much enthusiasm, so much strength in our heart. I was mentioning some days ago in a lecture, when we see new devotees who are doing service with the right attitude, and really they are making experiments. How can I serve Krishna? How can I please him? And they are really engaging themselves into service. They just become so enthusiastic and so strong, and they can do so much service in so less time, because this enthusiasm of service is there, this seva bhava is there. And at the same time, we see sometimes devotees who are so many years in the movement who have lost their enthusiasm, because the quality of this seva bhava, this service attitude, not the external service, but the attitude, is actually missing. And when this attitude of pleasing, this attitude of really giving pleasure to Krishna is absent, then this strength, this bala, is actually leaving the devotees. Srila Rupa Goswami explained that bhakti of devotional service means unmotivated, means just for the pleasure of Krishna. This is what is giving the strength in our service. Once a man asked Srila Prabhupada, "Okay, Prabhupada, you are doing your puja, you are doing your preaching, and you are doing all your activities, your chanting, but what do you do for recreation?" And Prabhupada was a little bit surprised. He said, Recreation? Prabhupada said, "All we do is recreation. All we do is recreation. All we do is fun. All we do is done because we like to do, because it's our pleasure to do. Everything is actually recreation." And this is the stage of devotional service that we want to reach, when we can serve the Lord with this light heart, when we can serve the Lord with just this desire to please Him, that we are not trying all the time to what is there for me, what is there for me, what is there for me. But just this simple attitude, how can I please, how can I please? And Balaram gave this seva bhava. Balaram gave this attitude of service, of unmotivated service to Krishna. He's giving the proper example how to serve. So Balaram showed this example of service in the way he's serving Lord Krishna, and he's showing us this service attitude specifically to us in this material world when he appears as the Adi Guru, the spiritual master. Hridayananda Maharaj is explaining in a lecture, he said that Balaram's power, the power of Balaram, is one expression of his infinite goodness. And he said this infinite goodness means one is taking care of the welfare of others. This is the nature of goodness. Therefore, Balaram appeared as the original Guru. And this is the spiritual master, this is the Adi Guru, this attitude of wanting to help everyone to make progress towards Krishna. If we are frequently reading Prabhupada books or hearing Prabhupada's lecture, we can notice that actually Srila Prabhupada quotes very, 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 very often one specific verse. This is from Madhya Lila, Chaitanya Charitamrita. Yare Dekha Tare Kaha Krishna Upadesh. Instruct everyone to follow the orders of Lord Krishna as they are given in Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam. In this way, become a spiritual master and try to liberate everyone in this land. And then Hridayananda Maharaj said, if you don't become a guru, this means you are selfish. That's strong, and we know how Prabhupada was not meaning become guru, like become in a high position and get many adoration from others. This is not what Prabhupada was meaning. I think become guru. The meaning was become selfless, become dedicated to help others progress toward happiness, progress toward pure love of God. This is actually the selflessness of the spiritual master. This is what the example Balaram gives us by coming as the spiritual master in this world. And it's not that we all need to be preachers or like this. We can do so much just by our example of good heart, our example of gratitude, our example of kindness, our example of forgiveness toward others. This is a wonderful way that we can also become guru in our way and learn actually to become selfless and help others. So this is also very nice teaching of Balaram coming in this world as the Adi Guru to show us this compassion. And the spiritual master, Lord Balaram, Maharanidhi Maharaj mentioned that actually Balaram is so eager that we get Krishna. He's so much wanting, he's so much waiting that we finally become able to accept Krishna. Then, when Balaram sees that we have eagerness to receive Krishna, to come close to Krishna, then Balaram will be gracious to manifest the form of his beloved Krishna in our heart. Balaram wants to manifest the form of his beloved in the heart of all his devotees. He is waiting to do that in the form of Chetya Guru, Diksha Guru, and Shiksha Guru. Those are the action of the Sandini Shakti of Lord Balaram. So here Maharanidhi Maharaj is explaining how Balaram is wanting to give this Krishna consciousness. How Balaram, Adi Guru, is wanting that the Lord manifest in our heart and really in our heart. And he's trying very, very hard to help us come to that stage. How is he doing that? How is Balaram trying to help us to receive Krishna? How is Adi Guru trying to help us?
Mm-hmm. Maybe by teaching us, by instructing us?
Mm. By his instructions, yeah. I was reading some days ago in 7th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. Srila Prabhupada gave a very good analogy. He said, if you are lost into a well and you call for help and someone come and throw a rope in that well, the person really wants to help you, but you need to catch the rope. If you don't catch the rope, you cannot be saved. And Srila Prabhupada mentioned this rope is actually, those are the instructions that the spiritual master is giving us. And very, 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 very mercifully, the spiritual master gives instructions, but not only instructions, he is also giving the strength to fulfill those instructions. It's not that the guru just gives instructions that you cannot do. The strength of fulfilling this instruction is given with the instruction. After, it's just how much we take this instruction as our heart and soul, and how much do we focus on this instruction. This is our part of the work. I would like to tell you a little story in connection with that, how the instruction of the spiritual master contains the potency to fulfill the instruction inside of it. Some years ago we were in Berlin and we had a preaching program, we would call that the Vedic Salon. So we will invite very high class people, we will have a buffet, vegetarian buffet, Sachinandana Swami will give a little lecture and then devotees will interact and discuss with those rich and high class people. And one day when this Vedic Salon was taking place, they just came to the place and the wife of Kalada, Kalakanta, noticed, oh no, we forgot to take the chairs for our guests to sit on. Now it was much too far to go back and pick up those chairs. They were in the center of Berlin. So Satchinandana Swami told Kalakanta, just go to a restaurant and you ask for 20 chairs. And Kalakanta said, Kumaraj, we are in Berlin. Nobody will give us, I mean, maybe not 20, but maybe 10 or 15 chairs. Nobody will give us chairs. And Satchinandana Swami said, just do it. So Kalakanta just went out of the car, and there was, close to the place where this Vedic Salon was taking place, was a pizzeria. So she went in this pizzeria, and at that time was the world championship football, or I don't know how we call that. And there was the TV in the pizzeria, and Italy was playing against Germany or another. And that was quite an important match. And everyone was just looking at this TV and totally absorbed into the match. So Kalakanta came to the waiter and said, I'm sorry, I have a very important request. Could you borrow me 10 or 15 chairs? And the waiter just could not figure, huh? Chairs? Yes, we need chairs. And then the waiter said, I cannot give you any chairs, just go to him, he's in charge or he's the boss. So she went to the other waiter and asked the same question. And the man looked like, really, you dream, how will I give you chairs? And just at that time, Italy marked a goal.
Oh.
Everyone just jumped and embraced each other and were just like in such euphoric state. And then the waiter looked at Kalakanta and said, how many chairs do you need? And she just got the chairs. She just got the chairs and left the restaurant with the chairs. And you know what happened? The most amazing things. when she was going out of the restaurant, they were announcing at the TV that actually the goal did not count. And this is amazing story. But that shows the spiritual master gives instruction, and through the instruction, there is actually the strength to fulfill it. The only things we need to do from our side is actually to take this instruction in our heart, to take really as our heart and soul and focus on this instruction and try our best to fulfill it. And then we can actually be taken out of the well of material existence. Srila Gopovinda Swami explained that the spiritual master gives some instruction when he's giving lectures, like general instructions, but he's giving also personal instructions that he gives personally to the disciple in special moment of their life. And then he said, those specific instruction should become the life and soul of the disciple. And we see how Srila Prabhupada took these instructions from his spiritual master to come to the West and to distribute Krishna consciousness to the West. And how many years he worked on it. He was just meditating and doing all preparation, years and years of preparation. But he was all the time so fixed into this instruction that Krishna just fulfilled it, fully, and just getting everything. So I think on this day of Balaram Priyanse, it's very nice and important for us to remember instruction we have received from our spiritual master and review how much actually we are following them, and how much actually we are holding at this rope that the spiritual master and Lord Balaram are giving us to come out of the well. Balaram is so merciful. It's so pity that we think and meditate on him only so rarely. Most of the time, I mean, I see for myself, it's in Balaram appearance day that I really meditate on Balaram, but there is just such an ocean of mercy that is coming from Balaram. And no one actually can reach into Radha Krishna without the mercy of Balaram. No one can actually properly glorify Krishna without the mercy of Balaram. It is said that Lord Balaram, in his form of Ananta Shesh, he has so many mouths, and with those mouths, he's all the time glorifying Krishna. And in Chaitanya Bhagavat, Vrindavananda Thakur writes, he said that just as a priceless gem is kept in a secure place, the invaluable jewel of knowledge about Krishna's pastimes is kept safely in the mouth of Anantadeva. And whoever wants to praise Krishna needs to get the blessings from Lord Balaram, from Anantadeva. And that is another aspect very, very special of Lord Balaram. He is giving the strength to do the impossible. He is giving us the strength to make steps in our life that we often cannot do on our own. He has this ability to turn the impossible into possible. And once my Guru Maharaj mentioned that, I remember for a special, 2-3 years ago in Balaram Priyanse, and I really took it seriously to go to Balaram and really plead for help, for making this new step in my spiritual life. And I really could make that step I wanted to do. And it was a very important step, very difficult step in my spiritual life. So Lord Balaram can give us really a special blessing to overcome some special obstacles. He can give us this bala, this strength, this seva bala that will allow us to make new steps in our spiritual life. So on that day is the day we should approach Lord Balaram for this mercy. I don't know how much every one of us has prayed to Lord Balaram, how deep were our prayers to Lord Balaram for help today. Maybe we are doing the festival, yeah, it's Parama Kriya state, we need to do some festival on that day, but how much actually are we tuned into this desire to get special blessings? How much are we longing for the help of Lord Balaram? How much are we praying for us to make new steps in our spiritual life? So we still have a little time in front of us. Maybe I can see if there are some questions or some comments, and then we could sing a little more until the arati, and maybe take this last singing for a deep prayer. But first, let's see if you have any questions, any comments, anything to add, any glorification of Lord Balaram. I should not be the only one to glorify Lord Balaram. You should also say something nice about Balaram. Anakam Acharya.
I was just today listening to the lecture from Radharath Maharaj from London. He was giving Balaram appearance day, and he said something that was for me very, very inspiring. He was also explaining how he came to this world from Mother Deva to Kundalini, and he explained what you also said. And then he said that he actually his first
expansion.
Of Krishna, and he said he's the only one who is, because he's so enthusiastic, this is a source of enthusiasm, he's so enthusiastic, he's taking all five rasas to place, and then he says, like, his bed for Krishna, extending like turban from Krishna, clothes and jewelry, this is all Balaram. And he said he's also in seva, doing like massaging Krishna's feet, and other also, he is playing also then that he's even in the Madhurya taking also
as an Ankamachari. Thank you. Thank you for this comment.
And also in this material world, everything actually. Like Paramatma and all other extensions, this is actually Balaram.
Mm.
So I was completely, actually everything is Balaram.
Balaram is everywhere. Thank you. Bhagavad Dhamma.
Yeah, some little clarification about Balaram. He's very often described carrying these weapons like mace and plow. But in his childhood pastimes, he actually never carried mace and plow. His weapons in Vrindavan are a buffalo horn, bugle, and a piece of rope to control the cows.
Mm-hmm.
Later on, he grew up and went to Mathura and Dwarka and was fighting and like that. Then he had these other weapons.
Mm. Very nice. Thank you.
When he was fighting with these demons, he never used any weapons. Yeah. He was just punching.
The punch on Paramasuha and a little word with Enukasuha.
Yeah. Otherwise, he was never fighting.
Yeah.
He liked to show his power.
Mm.
Therefore, it's also another reason it's called Father Rama, because he enjoys showing his own power.
Very nice. Any other comments or clarification? Okay, so I think we should sing a little more until the arati. We did not serve prasadam before because a good part of the feast prasadam will be offered to Krishna Balaram and Radha Madan Mohan at 7 o'clock. So we'll sing a little more and then we have the arati and then we can have the full prasadam. Thank you for your attention, and let's enter this I mean, maybe I'm the only one who was not so much in prayer full moon until now, but let's use this moment now of singing to really turn our hearts to Balaram and pray so that we can overcome our obstacles and get this seva bhava, get this attitude of loving service, get this selfless attitude toward Krishna, so that we can actually really become enlightened, really become enthused, really full of love, full of strength to serve Krishna and to give Krishna consciousness to other living entities around us. Now I have one small request. It's connected to the Kirtan singer. I would like very much Ananga Mantra.